No Doubt in the studio.
And we've also got Bud and Eric from the band Sublime, and they're catching up with No Doubt right now. Gentlemen, welcome. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Bud, Eric, great to have you on the Kevin and Beanchuk. Eric, you're going to have to get right up on one of these microphones here. I'm sorry. Wow. We're going to be able to hear you.
Here we go.
So we wanted to have you in because everybody's buzzing about this big benefit tomorrow night. And tell the folks what the whole deal is with this. What do we need to know about
this?
It's
going to be a really, really big show. Well, the whole deal is basically just to get the word out there to people that, just to lighten up and to realize what's really going on.
Whose idea was this originally?
Troy's idea.
Troy's idea, yeah. Brad's wife. Troy, you can get off on the microphone there, too.
Sure.
How you doing today?
Good.
Nice to meet you. And this is your son?
Jake.
Hey, Jake.
How's it going? Gwen's cookies.
Very popular here today. So you're raising some money tomorrow night for little Jake.
And for MAP.
And that's
Musicians Assistance Program. It's a program started by Bunny Arnold. He's a longtime jazz musician. And he started the program for musicians to help musicians get clean.
Mm-hmm.
And originally it started that after Brad died, a lot of bands that had worked with him were calling me, offering their help, you know, if they wanted to do a benefit concert. And I thought, for Jake. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to raise awareness about drug abuse and the recent tragedies and losses we've had to mm-hmm. drug abuse.
Mm-hmm. Jake is a good-looking kid. I'm not a big kid fan. That's a good-looking kid.
He's got chocolate all over
him. That helps. How much does he look like his dad?
He does the chin thing that his dad used to do.
He's grabbing the microphone like his dad used to do.
And he's got his coloring, but he's got my eyes.
So yeah, it's
good. Say hi.
Say hi, Jake.
Say Elmo.
Where's Elmo?
Hey, we have a ban on the word Elmo after Christmas. I'm sorry. We can't. So it's been, what's it been now? It's been about 7 months mm-hmm. since that awful day last summer.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that's the type of thing that you ever get over, or everybody in this room that knew and loved Brad for so long. Tell us about him, because we didn't really know him very well except to see him at, like, the Weenie Roast. What kind of guy is Brad?
He was real serious when he wasn't on stage, when he wasn't in front of people. That's where he was his best, was on stage. But other than that, he was really quiet and read a lot and just hung out. He liked to be alone a lot.
Really? That's a surprise. That's not the Sublime image at all, is it?
No, it's not. He was very different from the image.
And you guys, Bud and Eric from Sublime, tell me about the band. I mean, you guys were together for a really long time, too. You were another one of those, like No Doubt, that was almost a 10-year overnight success story.
Yeah, pretty much. We started, Eric and I met like a long, long time ago. We've been playing in a bunch of different...
We met on Big Wheels. Oh, I had a Green Machine, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We had a confrontation, a big showdown in the middle of Quincy or Covina Avenue.
That's when that cop hit me, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you do? You had a fight?
That was my first confrontation with a cop.
The police ran him over on his Green Machine.
So you guys were already playing in some bands, and then somehow you hooked up with Brad?
Yeah, we hooked up with Brad after a while. Eric and I had separated and played in a couple different bands, and then he said, yeah, I met this guy Brad. He sings great, plays great guitar, let's jam. And we did, and that like started back in like 88.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Brad played in a band called Hogan's Heroes first, and we had this real drunk guy sing, and it was pretty funny. Brad wrote the songs, and he didn't think he could sing.
Oh, really? He didn't?
Yeah, he was always worried about, you know, singing. He was more into playing guitar.
Really?
But he finally figured out that he had...
Isn't that funny how people's talent can become people's talent can be completely different than their self-confidence?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are people... You look at a guy like Al Pacino who will tell you he can't act, and the rest of the world just looks at him as in awe. I guess there's just no there's no telling what you're going to think on the inside.
Yeah.
So you had the first Sublime record. You kind of got a real good bass going in Orange County and around the country, and then it was the second one that had the date rape on it?
It was the first one.
First one had date rape, but K-Rock kind of started playing long after the album had already been put to bed. And that really kind of brought you some consciousness with a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah, that kind of got us a little bit.
So you go in the studio to make this the current record, The Sublime. What was that like, recording that one? What was the band was obviously jazzed. You guys were making great stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Paul Leary at Willie Nelson's ranch, you know. What else you need?
It was a rough experience. I think it was the single most hardest work experience I've ever had in my life.
Was putting this album together?
Yeah, we had to wake up every morning and to the sun and like go bass fishing for breakfast and go down, mosey on down to the studio about 10 o'clock in the morning, cut a couple tracks, go play some golf, get a massage, play some pool.
That is rough.
Go jump in the pool. I hated it.
Now, could you tell at the time what a great record it was? Did you guys know it was going to be as...
Yeah.
You knew it was off the hook, as they say.
When we got on the plane to go to Austin, we had about five songs that worked out. I was thinking to myself, you know, what are we going to do? We got five songs. We could do that in one day, and we're going to be there for a month.
It's a lot of downtime.
Yeah, as soon as we got there, and it's just the magic all started happening as soon as we got in the studio.
Mm-hmm. And when you were finished with it, you all felt like, this is, we're really happy.
Well, actually, like, when Eric and I were done with the
rough
bass and the rhythm tracks, we had scratch guitar and scratch vocals, and Eric and I were, like, asking Paul, will you do our next album, too? It was so much fun working with them. Sounded so good. He really, really sparked us. And
now, the album had not been out all that long when Brad passed away, right? I guess I remember we might have heard something at Advance or something here at K-Rock, and everybody was kind of excited this was going to be the big summer for Sublime.
Right.
And then of course that thing happened, and it must have just thrown you guys into a tailspin. You were really laying low for a long time after that.
Yeah.
I know you obviously weren't out there doing interviews.
It was really messed up.
I mean, he had obviously one of your best friends. You know? What you have talked to kids a lot about what happened with Brad? I mean, do they come up and talk to you about it?
Sometimes. I mean, we've done like quite a few interviews and radio shows and stuff talking about it. But it took a while because, I mean, it really hurts. Still does. You know, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about him like a good 12 hours out of the 24 hours that I'm there.
And you're working on... Wow, really? And you guys are working on music together, too. I know you're playing tomorrow night together in a different outfit, right?
Eric and I are sticking together. We have Eric's got another side venture that he's doing without me. But
that's the ABBA cover band.
Tell No One the Mount Era Rat Finch. Play drag racing music.
Gwen, let me ask you this: we were talking off the air about you. You know the guys in Sublime pretty well for a long time. Mm-hmm. How did you hook up with them?
Actually, me and Tony got a demo tape. We were playing a show at Spice. This was like, I mean, it must have been '88, right? '89, and you know, everybody always gives you tapes and stuff, and for some reason we listened to it, and it became like our favorite tape. I mean, we listened to the thing so much. It was the really bad version where it was a really bad...
The green tape?
Yeah,
the John Will Pay the Bills or something?
Right. I mean, just like, it didn't hardly work, you know, but it was our favorite demo, so...
The one that has this on the cover?
It didn't have a cover or anything. It didn't have a cover, did it?
With Toby and Louie on the cover?
Yeah.
And you said these guys got it.
So we wanted to have them open for us. We played the show at Kona, Hawaii, which is on Harbor Boulevard. It was a long time ago. And we were really excited and everything, and they didn't even show up. And they show up,
about par,
you know,
for the course.
They had been, I don't know where they were partying or whatever, but they showed up late with their big entourage, and they end up going on after us. And I watched them, but everybody else was gone. You know, that was the first experience, and then we kept asking them to do shows with us, and I don't know, because they weren't reliable, you know. It was like, we were going to have our record release party, and we're like, let's get Sublime, you know, but they have to make sure they show up, you know. And
did they?
Yeah, they showed up. I don't think Bradley was on the stage when they started playing, but...
He arrived about 20 minutes later?
Yeah.
Didn't you do a vocal on one of the Sublime albums, too?
Yeah, that was like a thrill for me, because they were in the studio and they called me up, and I couldn't believe it. I remember I told Tony, I'm all, should I do it? You know, I couldn't believe that they called me, and I went down there, and it was intense, because Bradley didn't have the lyrics done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got there, and he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I want you to do this, and he's like, he's making up the words, you know, and we went in and did it, and it's pretty amazing, because every time that we would run through the song and practice it, he would sing it so intensely that his whole face was all red, and like he was sweating, and he was like really like, you know, into it every take. I'm like, dude, we're just practicing, you know. But it was really cool to be able to be involved in that.
Now, how'd you line up all the bands that are going to be playing tomorrow night? Who else is on the bill? I know Pennywise is playing. Is that someone you guys in Sublime do a long time to?
Old friends?
A lot of the bands volunteer, Trey?
A lot of them. We got such incredible...
Yeah, we know all the bands, actually. We're friends with all the...
You know what? We need to take a break. We have No Doubt and members of Sublime in the studio. Let's come back and talk about the bands and the show tomorrow night.
Cool.
And we'll be right back. Pay some bills once in a while, you know. We'd love to sit here in the app.
106.7.
Early in the morning, rising to the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason, reason things went wrong. Got to find a reason why my money's all gone. I got a Dalmatian, I can still get high. I can play the guitar like a mother riot.
you might get shot. Never had the battle with a bulletproof vest. Never start static, I can't fit off my chest. Take a small example, a tip for me. Take a lump, your money, give it up to charity. Look what I got within my reach. The sub-rock style, still straight from Long Beach. Come back to you, you're gonna get what you deserve. Try and test that, you're bound to get served. Love's what I got, don't start a riot. I don't get angry when my mom smokes pot. It's the violin goes right through the rock. Getting quiet, it's all the same. The never do without, the only way to stay sane. Let the loving come back to me.
It's like being at a party, huh? Never actually get out to parties. We're in a room with a lot of people drinking milk and eating chocolate chip cookies. So we got No Doubt in the studio, Brad and Eric from Sublime, and
I'm sorry,
Bud and Eric from Sublime, and we have Troy Noel in here too with the lovely young Jake, who's being really good.
Yeah.
Considering all everything that's going on in here, how did you end up with two versions of What I Got on the CD? By the way, how did that work out, guys?
We were really drunk at the time.
All of your answers started out with, we were really drunk at the time. Have you noticed that?
It's our favorite quote from the Pink Floyd album.
Just seemed like a good idea at the time?
Well, we had two separate, we had two different producers. First off, we started off in here in L.A. with
some guy.
David
Kahn.
Some
guy, right?
Some guy, yeah. David Kahn. And then he had like more of a refined technique. And then when we went out to Pedernales, Paul was like, oh, I really got to record this song. Will you guys play this song for me? I really want to try to record this song. And we wanted to do it for him, but we just made him hold out till the very end.
And
then
you liked them both and put them both
on? Yeah, we liked them both because they both still have, like one's more of like a live version, a performing version. The other one's more of a, you know, turntables. And
Right.
And we suckled Paul Leary to do the lead on that, on his version,
yeah,
too.
Now, tomorrow night at the Palladium, when you guys are doing this Sublime benefit, are the bands going to be doing some Sublime songs, too? Like, No Doubt, or will you do a Sublime song? Is that how...
We're thinking about that? I have to learn the words better, but I'm going to be doing that all day today, trying to figure out what he said, but...
Pennywise is on the bill.
Version?
It's a lot easier to...
Well, we wanted to do DJs.
Oh. We rehearsed it last night.
I know.
That'd be so cool.
Pennywise is going to be on the bill. Also, the Long Beach Dub All-Stars, which is going to have you guys from Sublime, and Slightly Stupid, and Fluff, and Ziggins, and it says here some surprise guests, too. Have you just invited a bunch of people? You don't know who's coming? One of those kind of... Tell me about the movie that's going to be shown tomorrow night. Because I understand there's a video compilation that's been put together, too.
Yeah, actually, what that is a Toy Story.
Good. The kids should like that.
Alice in Wonderland. What it is basically you know, it's like a documentary cut to live footage and backstage footage with music, you know, with Sublime songs, some interviews intercut between with the Ziggins and with Bud and Eric and Miguel, who is like the, you know, sort of the silent fourth member of the band, and basically just to give people what, you know, an idea of what Sublime was like live. There's some live concert footage in there with live sound.
That's pretty cool.
It's a really cool thing.
Do you guys sense, and this question will go out to anyone who's in the room, is there any kind of improvement going on with awareness to stop what happened to Bradley to happen again? Because it happens all too often. Are things getting better at all?
I wouldn't say they're getting better, but I think that this is one step in the right direction. This is the thrust of the benefit. We put this together because, I mean, Brad's just one more person that has taken his own life by an accidental drug overdose. Mm-hmm. And it's something that afflicts the music industry in particular, and it's something that is always swept under the rug. We always martyr the musicians after they're dead.
Right.
And that's exactly what we didn't do.
We didn't want to glamorize his death. We wanted to use it as a way to inspire other people to get help if they need help. But by the show Saturday night, the bands aren't there to tell people what to do. They're just there to show support.
And show that there's a way out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you've got a problem with, I happen to be, you know, clean and sober for 7.5 years. That's not the way for everybody. I mean, you know, if people want to do drugs, that's fine. You know, it's just when you have a problem with drugs, hey, there's these avenues out. You know what I mean? And show support that if you're struggling with drugs, everybody wants to support you. It's not the best way. Brad thought that drugs were going to help him creatively. He and I had a conversation after the album. You know, I mean, he was in tears saying how much this had stifled him, how much heroin had stifled him, and how much more he could have done, how much better he could have been. You know,
Troy, did you feel like that in retrospect it would have been so much easier if you had there been ways that you knew to help? I mean, did you feel like looking back, wow, there's so much more I could have done and didn't know what to do?
Or can you?
You really can't unless they want to get help. But I know that him being a musician, he was on the road a lot. It was harder for him to stay clean because he didn't have a maintenance program.
Mm-hmm.
MAP's a little bit different because it's geared towards musicians.
I see Jake can sing.
He keeps reaching for the microphone too.
That's right. Yeah.
But you know, he wasn't real educated. Brad himself wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have a lot of time. He was on the road a lot, and there's a lot of demands on him.
Right.
But
and everybody wants to party with the band.
Yeah.
But,
right.
I mean, that's kind of what happened in you know, with the end. I mean, it's, you know, everybody's there to give you drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, I want to party with the band. I want to get the singer high. You know what I mean? So that's what happened.
And Brad wasn't really a fighter. You know, he wasn't a fighter. It was tough on him every day to stay clean.
Right.
But
somebody just turned off the lights. I don't know what happened.
It's Tony trying to give us some mood lighting here. All right, we're almost out of show here, and I know you guys got a very big weekend playing with this thing, and no doubt you've got the other benefit tonight in Pomona too. By the way, we have some tickets. Let me give away some tickets while I'm thinking about it real quick. We have one pair of tickets for the Sublime benefit tomorrow night at the Palladium if you want to go, and then when that's gone, we've got 5 pairs of tickets for the No Doubt show with the Vandals at the Glass House tonight in Pomona. So call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with caller 10. Tom, you've got a guitar there. Think we're gonna have time to try to? Is there any way we can squeeze in a song before we go?
Cammy just called. She's running late.
Good.
Go along. I'm running late.
So why don't we take a quick break and figure out a song we all know, and then we'll come back. Does that sound good?
Cool.
Can you guys put on headphones? Because you have to hear something.
Okay.
Is there a pair of headphones over there? Take them over there, Lightning.
We may have to just lay them out and turn them up is what we may have to do.
We do a thing on the show called the Wheel of Bad Ideas, which is just we capture all of our bad ideas. We put them on a wheel, and every once in a while we spin it, and it lands on something, and we have to do it. Well, karaoke is one of them. It landed on karaoke, landed on Just a Girl.
Oh, nice.
And our intern, Fatty, Big Tad.
Bean, you want to plug these in over there?
Actually ended up singing Just a Girl.
Oh, God.
Which was just a beautiful thing, so I want to play it for you.
Hey, K-Rock, Tom's going to be playing. And what song are we going to sing here?
I thought Jacob would like to hear Don't Speak.
There you go. No Doubt, live in studio.
Stop explaining.
Very nice. You go, girl. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Gwen.
Thank you. Thanks for doing it.
We know it's difficult to sing first thing in the morning. And last thing we want to ask you guys before we go is we don't even want an answer now, but we just want you to think about it. We do a thing called the Breakfast With series. We did one with Stone Temple Pilots. We've done one with Gavin from Bush. We've done a lot of different stuff, and we'd like to do one with you guys.
That sounds like fun.
Think about it. Try and squeeze it into your schedule. You'll come down for like an hour and a half. Bring your instruments. We'll invite a whole K-Rock audience. They can ask you questions and do stuff like that. So
cool.
Think about it. Let's try and work it in if we can.
All right.
So you can't get too far from the people. That's what I'm telling you. Can't get too far. Well, thank you again for coming in. And Bud, Eric, thank you so much. Troy, great to meet you. Little Jake, great to see you. Enjoy the benefit this weekend. And we'll all talk again soon, okay? Great, thanks a lot. Tammy Heidi is coming up next. She's got the... I'm sorry, what? Who's talking? Oh, not talking to us. Tammy Heidi's coming up.